Welcome to Zikhu Dafsi Mani Manrabe Ram Goldar and Dirim Zakhus Bab Matsia, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, the 10th Parak, Habayis V'Haliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that if a rented upper story collapses, the tenant may move into the landlord's lower apartment. Rabbi Abba Bar Mama asked three questions about this right. Number one, does the tenant live there himself, as he originally did, and the landlord must leave, or do they live there together? Because the landlord can say, I didn't rent the upper story to you with the intent to be able to evict me. Number two, assuming they share the apartment, can the tenant use the ground floor entrance, or must he use his former entrance to the upper apartment and then descend into the lower apartment? Perhaps the tenant can argue, although I originally agreed to make an ascent into my apartment, aliyah v'yarida lo kabili alai, I didn't accept to make an ascent and descent to enter my apartment. And number three, assuming the tenant can make this argument, what if there are three stories and the rented second story collapses? Can the tenant be required to move into the third story since he agreed to an ascent, or is he not required to make two ascents? This question is left unresolved. Point number two, the Gemara relates an incident about two people living on two stories. It's where the plaster of the upper story deteriorated, so that when the upper resident washed his hands, the water would flow to the lower story and damage property there. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said the upper resident must fix the plaster, but Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Yossi said the lower resident must fix it. The Gemara explains that the first opinion holds, it's the damager's responsibility to distance himself from the property being damaged, so he must repair the plaster to avoid damaging. The second opinion holds it's the nizak's responsibility to avoid the damage, so he fixes the plaster. The Gemara suggests that this is the machlokes in a mission between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi about whose responsibility it is to provide plaster when repairing a ceiling, but proves from elsewhere that they hold the opposite positions regarding the above question, and so explains the mission differently. Although Rabbi Yossi agrees that a mazik must prevent damage, which is giri delay, his arrows meaning direct damages, this case was where the water stopped in the upper floor before leaking into the lower floor. And point number three, the next mission states that if a two-story building owned by two people collapsed and the lower owner refuses to rebuild the lower apartment, the upper owner may build the lower apartment, but dar basocha, and he may live in it, achiyitin lo zizilsav, until the lower owner pays him his expenses. Rabbi Yehuda objects, avzed dar betok shel chavero, even this is a case of one living in his fellow's property, sarkal halos lo schar, and therefore must pay him rent since he's benefiting from it. Rather, the upper owner builds both stories and then may live in the lower story until his expenses are paid since he no longer benefits by living there. Rabbi Yochanan said that this is one of the three places where Rabbi Yehuda ruled, Asa l'adam shiyanim mamon chavero. It's forbidden for a person to benefit from his fellow's property without permission. However, all three proofs are deflected, including our Mishnah, where his ruling may be because of shachurisa, blackening of the new walls due to his living there, causing its owner a loss. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah taught that if a rented upper story collapses, the tenant may move into the landlord's lower apartment. Rabbi Abba Bar Mama asked three questions about this right. Number one, does the tenant live there himself, as he originally did, and the landlord must leave, or do they live there together? Because the landlord can say, I didn't rent the upper story to you with the intent to be able to evict me. Number two, assuming they share the apartment, can the tenant use the ground floor entrance, or must he use his former entrance to the upper apartment and then descend into the lower apartment? Perhaps the tenant can argue, although I originally agreed to make an ascent into my apartment, aliyah v'yarida lo kabili alai, I didn't accept to make an ascent and descent to enter my apartment. And number three, assuming the tenant can make this argument, what if there are three stories and the rented second story collapses? Can the tenant be required to move into the third story since he agreed to an ascent, or is he not required to make two ascents? This question is left unresolved. Point number two, the Gemara relates an incident about two people living on two stories. It's where the plaster of the upper story deteriorated, so that when the upper resident washed his hands, the water would flow to the lower story and damage property there. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said the upper resident must fix the plaster, but Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Yossi said the lower resident must fix it. The Gemara explains that the first opinion holds, it's the damager's responsibility to distance himself from the property being damaged, so he must repair the plaster to avoid damaging. The second opinion holds it's the nizak's responsibility to avoid the damage, so he fixes the plaster. The Gemara suggests that this is the machlokes in a mission between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi about whose responsibility it is to provide plaster when repairing a ceiling, but proves from elsewhere that they hold the opposite positions regarding the above question, and so explains the Mishnah differently. Although Rabbi Yossi agrees that a mazik must prevent damage, which is giri delay, his arrows meaning direct damages, this case was where the water stopped in the upper floor before leaking into the lower floor. And point number three, the next mission states that if a two-story building owned by two people collapsed and the lower owner refuses to rebuild the lower apartment, the upper owner may build the lower apartment, but darbasocha, and he may live in it, until the lower owner pays him his expenses. Rabbi Yehuda objects, Avzed darbatok shel chavero, even this is a case of one living in his fellow's property, sarik lahalos l'schar, and therefore must pay him rent since he's benefiting from it. Rather, the upper owner builds both stories and then may live in the lower story until his expenses are paid since he no longer benefits by living there. Rabbi Yochanan said that this is one of the three places where Rabbi Yehuda ruled, Asul Adam Shiyanim Mamon Chavero. It's forbidden for a person to benefit from his fellow's property without permission. However, all three proofs are deflected, including our Mishnah, where his ruling may be because of Shachurisa, blackening of the new walls due to his living there, causing its owner a loss. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and this one was suggested to us by Moshe Raps from Yerushalayim. He suggested that Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a lot of keys. A gabbai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, wondered how the upper owner was doing who rebuilt and lived in the lower floor of a building that the lower owner refused to rebuild. So once again, slow motion. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door. Gabbai, keys? That must run Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that if a rented upper story collapses, the tenant may move into the landlord's lower apartment. Rabbi Abba Rama asked three questions about this fight. One of them being, assuming that they share the apartment, can the tenant use the ground floor entrance, or must he use his former entrance to the upper apartment and then descend into the lower apartment? Perhaps the tenant can argue, although I originally agreed to make an ascent into my apartment, I didn't accept to make an ascent and descent to enter my apartment. So the gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident about two people living on two stories, where the plaster of the upper story deteriorated, so that when the upper resident washed his hands, the water would flow to the lower story and damage the property there. Rechia Bar Abba said the upper resident must fix the plaster, but Rechia Bar Rabbi Yossi said the lower resident must fix it. The Gemara explains that the first holds on Mazigal Harkin Gatsas Mon and Nizak. It's the damager's responsibility to distance himself from the property being damaged, so he must repair the plaster to avoid damaging. The second opinion holds it's the Nizak's responsibility to avoid the damage, so he fixes the plaster. So, the gabbai wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, wondered how the upper owner was doing who rebuilt and lived in the lower floor of a building that the lower owner refused to rebuild, which reminds us. The next mission states that if a two-story building owned by two people collapse and the lower owner refuses to rebuild the lower apartment, the upper owner may build the lower apartment and he may live in it until the lower owner pays him expenses. Yehuda objects, Avzed dar betok shel chavero, even this is a case of one living in his fellow's property, sarik lahalos l'schar, and therefore must pay him rent since he's benefiting from it. Rather, the upper owner builds both stories and then may live in the lower story until his expenses are paid since he no longer benefits by living there. So once again, the gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, wondered how the upper owner was doing who rebuilt and lived in the lower floor of a building that the lower owner refused to rebuild. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Gimel is a geek. So here goes. The Shliach Basin was a bit of a geek. Geek? That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The Shliach Basin was a bit of a geek and used a mushkin snatching tool to grab a mushkin from a borrower in the street, which reminds us the next mission states regarding a lender that he may not seize the security from the borrower if he fails to pay except in Basin, and he may not enter the borrower's house to take the security of his, as the Pasuk says, Bechutz Ta'amod, you shall stand outside. Shmuel says the Shliach Basin may grab a mushkin from the borrower in the street, but he may not seize a mushkin by entering his house. So the Shuya Basin was a bit of a geek and used a mushroom snatching tool to grab a mushroom from a borrower in the street while making sure to leave two beds in his house, one for eating on and one for sleeping on. They were at least daladamas apart, which reminds us it was taught in Braisa that a Shuya Basin must leave two beds for the borrower, one for sleeping on and one for eating on. These are necessary because of Shmuel's statement that he said he knew the cure for all maladies except for three, one of them being one who eats bread and does not walk daladamos before going to sleep. Therefore, one needs a separate bed for eating. So the Shulich Basin, who was a bit of a geek and used a mushroom snatching tool to grab a mushroom from a borrower in the street while making sure to leave two beds in his house, one for eating on and one for sleeping on, that were at least daladamos apart, handed out crayons to Jews on the street, reminding them that despite their financial circumstance, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim hen, which reminds us of I listed four tanaim who hold Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim hen, all people of Yisrael are like princes. Daf Kuf Yadod, so the Simon Daf Kuf Yadod is a kiddie amusement park. So here goes. The children at the kiddie amusement park, that must be on Daf Kuf Yadod, kiddie. The children at the kiddie amusement park who were waiting in line at the Masadrim booth, where someone would assess their basic needs for collecting the Arkin pledges, but not their Hektish ones, which reminds us we have Malchus whether we are a Masader when it comes to a pledge of Hektish. Barpada and Ilfa say we do not, based on the Kavach Homer from a Balcho, whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds that we do. So the children at the kiddie amusement park who are waiting in line at the Masadrim booth, where some would assess their basic needs for collecting the Arkin pledges, but not their Hektish ones, watch one boy do the idolater cemetery run, where the goal was to use a cloak to pick up fragrant leaves, which reminds us the Gemara brings the instant Rabba Bar Avuha meeting Eliyahu in a cemetery of idolaters, and Eliyahu taking him to Gan Eden, telling him to use his cloak to collect leaves in order to become wealthy. So the children at the kiddie amusement park who were waiting in line at the Masadrim booth, where some would assess their basic needs for collecting the Arkin pledges, but not their Hektish ones, watch one boy do the idolater cemetery run, where the goal was to use a cloak to pick up fragrant leaves, right next to where another boy was playing Pledge Pursuit, pretending to be a lender and retrieving the mushroom from Yosomim after his borrower played dead. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Mishkano, if the lender took a mushroom from the borrower and returned it to him when he needed it, umes, and the borrower died, shomto me al gabibanav, the lender may pull it off his sons for collection. Although one normally cannot collect metaltim from Yosomim, this lender can because he acquired the mushroom.
Daf Kuf Tezvav, so the Simon Daf Kuf Tezvav is a katoris maker. So here goes.
The lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker, katoris, that must be more on Daf Kuf Tezvav. The lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker, as a mashkon, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Amanda ben Shia, Nia ben Shia Ashira, a widow, whether she's poor or wealthy, aim mashkinoisa, we do not take a mashkon from her, because the Torah says, we'll talk about Begat Amanda, you shall not take as security the garment of a widow. In a brisa, this ruling is quoted from Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Shimon argues and says, one may take a mushroom from a wealthy widow. The Torah only prohibited taking a mushroom from a poor widow because he must return it daily, and you would thereby give her a bad name among her neighbors who would suspect her of improper conduct. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is based on whether we're dorish, time and akra, whether we expand the reasons from the pasuk. So the lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker as a mashkon wisely left behind a portable mill, which would have made him chayiv for two sets of malkas, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one who takes a portable mill as a mashkon transgresses a lov, and is chayiv for two kalim, because the Torah writes him separately, Oyachbo rechayim v'rachev, ye shall not take a lower millstone or upper millstone for security. There's malchokas whether one is also chai for taking kol davar she'osim bo'o kol nefesh, anything used for food preparation, because the pasuk says ki nefesh hu chovel, for he is taking a life as a security. So the lender took the wealthy woman's katoris maker as a mashkon, wisely left behind a portable mill, which would have made him chayiv for two sets of malchus, after recalling how he was lashed twice the previous Pesach for eating the carbon Pesach partially raw, which reminds us, Rava says if one ate a carbon Pesach na, partially raw, he incurs two sets of malchus, one for the specific na of the pasuk, and another for the general prohibition of ki'im sli esh, unless it's roasted over a fire. If he ate a cooked, he incurs malchus for mevushel, cooked, as well as for ki'im sli esh. If he ate partially raw and cooked, he's chayiv for all three prohibitions. Abai says ein lokin olav shebekolos, one does not incur malchus for general prohibition.
Daf Kuf Tezayin. So the Simon Daf Kuf Tezayin is haircuts, and we use a barber in the Simon. So here goes.
The barber, that must be on Daf Kuf Tezayin, haircuts. The barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a man once sees a shechita knife as a mashkon, and Abai told him to return it since it's used for food preparation, and then he should go to Beis Din to claim his debt, which he would have to prove. Rava said he does not need to bring proof and may claim up to the knife's value. Since it was in his possession and no edim saw him take it, he could have claimed he had bought it. Since he didn't, he must be telling the truth that this debt is owed to him, provided it's not more than the knife's value. So the barber sees the butcher's shkita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Basin to prove his claim. Offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed. Which reminds us, the 10th parak begins, Habayis Baliyah Shel Shnayim Shenafu. If a ground floor and an upper story belonging to two people collapsed, they both divide the wood, stones, and earth based on the relative heights of the two structures, and we assess which stones were most likely to break and distribute the stones accordingly. So the barber sees the butcher's shkita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Basin to prove his claim. Offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, as well as to the neighbor renting the upper story of the house next door, which partially collapsed and was now living downstairs with the homeowner until repairs were made, which reminds us, the next mission states that if a rented upper story partially collapsed and the homeowner does not want to repair it, the tenant of the upper story may descend and live in the lower apartment until the homeowner repairs the upper story. Rav Yossi says the tenant is responsible to provide the plaster which covers the ceiling. Rabbah explains the case is Baruba, where most of the four collapsed, but Shmuel says it applies even Barabah, where only four square tefachim of four collapsed. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf to be a machlokes about whether a shliach based in can enter the borrower's house to take a mashkon? That's on daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Good. Number two, which daf do the case of one taking a shechita knife as a mashkon? That's on daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Good. Number three, which daf do we have machlokes about bal talin for the hire of a ger toshav? That's on daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Good. Number four, which daf do you discuss the number of prohibitions for taking a mill as a mashkon? That's on daf Kuf Tes Vav. Good. Number five, which daf do you discuss an upper owner rebuilding and living in the lower apartment if the lower owner refuses to rebuild? That's on daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Good. Number six, which daf do you discuss dividing building materials of a collapsed building of two floors belonging to two people? That's on daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Good. Number seven, which daf do you discuss a case where floor plaster deteriorated, causing water poured in the upper story to damage the lower story? That's on daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Good. Number eight, which daf do you discuss if we are masadeh regarding a pledge to Hekdesh? That's on daf Kuf Yud Dal. Good. Number nine, which daf do you discuss questions about the tenant's right to move to the lower apartment, such as using the front entrance? That's on daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 10, which daf to discuss four Tanaim who hold Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim hen? That's on daf Kuf Yud Dalet. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.